Welcome to the world of Muscle Smoke and Mirrors, where it's all about muscle, health, history, training, nutrition, bodybuilding, and state of mind.
Hey listener, we're back with another episode of theworldofmuscle.com. I am one of your hosts, Tamash, and Randy Roach is on the other end.
Morning.
Hey Randy.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. We were talking that in the last episode, we left out, Randy left out a few things.
Of course it's my fault.
Of course it's your fault.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they hit you later, so I forgive you. The summary from the episode was that Randy put on 45 pounds in about 8 months because he dropped a lot of weight due to a skin condition. And we went through what he did to get 45 pounds on in about 8 months. One of it was increasing his calories, roughly 25%. And the other was training. And what he neglected to mention, actually, I'll let you go on with what you remembered that you left out in the previous episode.
First, I believe my calorie increase is more than 25%. I might have been approaching 40% or so, because I did increase them a lot. Like, I literally doubled my quantity of milk, right? So, which brought in like 1,400 calories alone. Before I get into the exercise, I was really surprised when we ended the show, because I thought, well, you idiot. I mean, there was something I did different, quite a bit different in my routines. But first, some of the listeners, I thought the question might come up. Okay, the guy's 56 years old. Why is he just doing this now? Is he just I'm not that I hadn't just learned this now. I always knew and believed this, especially interviewing a number of the old timers and how they built muscle. And I like I said, I long abandoned the notion put forth more in the 80s that, okay, the idea is to just get lean, stay lean, and build on 3, 5 pounds, 6 pounds of muscle a year. And I dropped that because I couldn't do it, and nobody else I knew was doing it, not naturally anyways. And I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure some people out there may have done it, but I had not seen it. So I always believed in that philosophy that you have to eat. And even with my clients, the younger guys who are, say, in their 20s and 30s, I say, some of them are shocked. I say, look, if you want to really put on muscle, you have to be dedicated and you have to really increase your calories. Unfortunately, a lot of guys at that age still in a high social lifestyle of drinking on the weekends, right? And I said, that can't be part of it. Believe me, I've tried for years to incorporate alcohol and getting and lifting weights and getting bigger. It just doesn't work. But even when parents bring their teenagers to train and they want to get bigger for, say, hockey or something like that, I say, if you want them to get bigger, especially at that age, they have to eat. And they're quite shocked at what I tell them with the amount of calories. Often it's like doubling the calories that they're taking in, especially when they're younger and their teens are burning it off like crazy, right? And at that age, it's basically like an isocaloric diet of, you know, you can almost get an even breakdown of protein, carbs, and fats. But why I had done it before, I mentioned yesterday that I had gone up in weight to over 200 pounds before. It was over 20 years ago. I got more fat because at that time I was eating more conventional and I was eating more carbohydrates. And carbohydrates can make or break you, right? And they basically did both for me. I got bigger, but I got fatter. Then after that, I went on a kind of this trek to do a triple body weight deadlift, which means you don't want to be really big because it just makes the lift harder. And my weight had settled down to about 180 pounds. This is around the year 2000. And I had worked on doing that big deadlift, and I didn't try to bring my weight up. I was getting at the age too where it wasn't so gung-ho. I stopped believing in all the hyperbole and bullshit. Mm-hmm. About this, you got to do this, this, and that. And I always had a trouble going because of Stevens-Johnson syndrome. It wasn't just my eyesight that it got. I later learned that my intestinal tract had a terrible time growing up with digestion. I mostly had diarrhea all the time. And when I had no problems getting leaner, you know, taking weight off. For me to put weight on, it was a struggle because I try to eat what they're saying to eat, but I would get bogged down, bloated, and next thing you know, I'm just on the toilet. And it was stressful. People think it's tough to diet. Yeah. A lot of people don't realize in bodybuilding, it can be just as stressful trying to put weight on and double calories and stuff like that. When I
do you ever get turned off food?
Yes, you can turn off food all the time when you're trying.
It's almost like force feeding yourself.
And that's not good. Your body doesn't want it in that fashion. What changed for me is when I became a raw food eater, and again, I won't go down this rabbit hole far, but I found that I was able to communicate better with the food. Raw food communicates much better with my body, and I could eat more and more often. And then eventually I found out I could eat bigger quantities, but I played with certain at times I would increase my calories. I had a couple of weekends where I would even go up to 10,000 a day just to play around, but I never settled down to say I'm going to try to get bigger and just eat. I just going into my 40s, into my 50s, it just wasn't a burning desire as it was, but I thought it was always on the back of my mind that I'll do it someday. When I watched Joshua Trentini do it, it was impressive. When he came up here about 5 years ago for an Easter weekend, and he came back 6 months later, my one friend, she didn't recognize him. I still remember the one fellow here, James Camp, a good guy. He'd drop in once in a while. He's saying, well, geez, that boy fills up a doorway, right? That's how big he got. And so, and he continued growing past. And we talked about that yesterday, and then he competes heavier. That kind of gave me the notion that I should do that sometime too, but I just didn't have the desire to do it. Until last year, when I was out of concern, can I stop this weight loss? That I did it. I said, okay, my diet's very clean, and I had no social life whatsoever in terms of going out. I'm just going to train and eat, and I added my and I kept consistent, and roughly almost like a third. I was almost doing that isocaloric, you know, almost a 30-30-30 carbs, proteins, fats. But obviously, mine was heavier on the fats. Maybe 40, 20, 30, around that area, but fats being a little bit more dominant. And the...
Sorry, fat being, let's say, 40, what was the other? So protein and...
Probably carbs are 30, protein 25. That's still a lot of... When you have 4,000 calories and 25%, that's still a lot of protein,
okay,
right?
So you still had the... Just wanted to clarify.
I was getting in at least 200 grams of raw protein a day with a gallon of raw milk and the chicken, raw chicken. Okay. At least 200 grams.
So food is done. What was the
component was before I even started this, I had started revisiting squats because I had not pushed squats very much because I know you're a big guy on squats, and I'm structured in a manner that my thighs are not proportioned with my tibias and my back. And squatting's awkward for me because it sets me way back, and I have to compensate and try to stretch on my hamstrings and calves. And I've been working on that, especially you emphasizing that. And I have been working on that, but I have good equipment, and we'll probably, when we can, shoot some photos and film of the squat equipment I have. But Josh and I also started talking a couple of years about squatting, because even though he's a machine expert and likes machines, he's also very knowledgeable on exercise, free weights, and he was looking at squatting. And I thought, yeah, I was going to sell my pendulum squat machine, my pendulum multi-station we talked about that I had the tricep unit on. Until I tried the squat machine again, I realized how much I liked it. And I just started to work on a certain squatting format called sixes. My body was stressed at that time with whatever I was going through, and I didn't like the high rep stuff. Especially in legs, it made me nauseous. So I came up with this model called sixes that I really liked. We had that article somewhere.
That's what I was going to ask you. You wrote an article about it, right?
Yeah, it was put on a blog in Germany somewhere. And I still use sixes today in many different things. But I.
So why don't we give that to the listener? You know how when someone signs up for updates on the new episodes of the podcast. They get transcriptions, and they also get PDF reports and even training articles. This would be one of them.
Yeah, I really like it, and I've augmented it a bit because I've reincorporated high reps. Especially, I've been interviewing with Tom Platz, and you can't interview Tom Platz and get a little bit excited about squatting, right? I really believe that Tom has a good knowledge of how to build muscle. And it's not all drugs.
He's proven it, really.
Yes, he's got a lot of things. Well, I was impressed talking with him because of things he knows, and we'll get into that some other time. But one of them is he did high rep squats, and as I started to improve in my own health and stuff like that, I could, when I was doing these sixes and squats, I then incorporated high rep squats. And I'm talking about full range squats, controlled, not balancing. Like, I started practicing free weight with no weights on me at all. And I had to use a block and then slowly lower the block as I stretched and stretched out my hamstrings and calves more. But I still had to be a little bit of heel elevation, but I had the pendulum squat and the paramount squat where I could just go flat footed. And these machines are, for me, are awesome because they allow me to do a full range deep squat. And that is so invigorating when you do it that way. It's very demanding, but I think it's very metabolic enhancing and anabolic enhancing. And that's a key thing. I did a lot more squatting than I ever have done in my life in the best way I've ever done it. Over that past year or two, I had started doing it before I upped my calories, and I kept it a mainstay in my training right from that past 8 months. And I believe that was instrumental in me putting on probably a better proportion of muscle at this 205 pounds than I had 20 years ago.
So quick question, roughly, what would you say your weekly gains were if you kept track of it at all?
Weight gains? I was shocked when I got on the scale and somebody read it at 200 pounds. Well, I knew I was close before they read it because, you know, I have a doctor's scale.
Yes.
So I knew where the 200-pound mark was. I just can't read if it was 203, 198. I couldn't read the
fine. Yeah.
I couldn't believe I was 200 pounds. Because I thought maybe I might be back up to 180, 85. Because remember, I was coming from 160.
Yeah, so you didn't really weigh yourself on a regular basis.
No, I was feeling good. My legs were filling out. My butt was filling out. And that's true. Vince's biggest nightmare, you're going to get a big ass doing squats. Well, of course you're going to build your glutes, right? Because it's a big part of it. But people want to build their glutes.
Especially lately.
Yeah, if you're a football player with a very wide hip structure, then your glutes might be more than what you want.
I think Vince also said that it'll spread your hips.
No, I can't.
I disagree with that too. Yeah, it will build your muscles.
Maybe if you started these big, heavy squats at 13.
Yeah.
You know, when you're young and your bones are still not fused, you know, you're still growing. That may be true. But at my stage of the game, that's the last thing that's going to happen. And again, I'm not talking about huge, heavy squatting too. I'm talking about really trying to get the thighs into it and high reps.
Yep.
And just really no
full range.
Yeah, full range. Like when you go down, the glutes come into it, the hamstrings come into it, the adductors. Everything comes in with the quads, and you really fill out. I think I put more muscle there than I ever had before. So, but I was shocked when I got on the scale and it was 200 pounds because I didn't know where did that come from that fast. I knew I was 160 pounds. I was weighed several times because I was so concerned of my weight loss. And then I was 203, 205. Then I was cognizant of the weight gain. My body can fluctuate 4 or 5 pounds a week just in water. Okay.
True.
So I thought, okay, I'm really not 200 pounds because I got water in me. But all of a sudden when I'm at 208, yeah, I am really over 200 pounds. Like, I mean, I was 208 this last week. I bet you because I've been no starch through the week this week. It's just been milk and meat. So I bet you I'm down 4 or 5 pounds just from water.
Well, we can always catch up with that and add that in future episodes and figure out whether you stay that way or if it's just all water.
No, I might. No, it's not all water. I will bring my weight back down again. I want to see where I am in terms of if I want to get close to as lean as I was at 160, but I hope to be 175, 180, 185.
And did you fill out anywhere other than legs?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, my arms always are the first thing. Like, I worked out. I trained shoulders and arms. And I know that I'm not overly fat because the veins in my bicep are still out quite prominently, right? Because when I 20 years ago, I had no veins in my biceps at all. Like, I mean, but now I do. And this is so that I'm not overly obese. From a social cultural standpoint, they consider me very muscular. From a bodybuilding standpoint, they would know you're fat. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it depends. Yeah,
if I don't have all my abs sticking out and stuff like that, you're fat, you know? So, but again, when you're in a t-shirt and you got your forearms are full of veins and your biceps got the big vein, then you don't feel fat.
Yep.
Right. So, but I will take it down again. It's called yo-yo dieting. In our culture, it's probably not healthy, but in the raw food culture, it's practiced. Okay. It's one way of detoxification. These are things that we can there's so many topics we can deal with.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at a later time. We want to keep these on topic.
But I wanted to, for the listeners, I want to emphasize why I had not really done this before so much, as many people think.
Well, you weren't even planning to do this. It kind of just happened.
Again, it was off my mind until I got to do something to stop this weight loss. Yeah. And the importance of properly done squats. And next time you're up, let's shoot some photos of the squat. I have the Paramount squat.
We'll do it.
And we can just show them what the machines that I used.
Sounds good.
Alrighty.
Okay. And the other thing back to the summary. So now you've added the extra exercise that may have been a little more than just a small part of the gain, which was the full range squat.
Yep.
And the calories were probably more than 25%, which is what we said in the previous episode.
Yeah, and the important another thing is, for many years I kind of poo-pooed the squats. It was guys like you're more emphatic on squatting, and Platts and Josh who kind of made me reevaluate it again, because I had the Medix leg press, and it's this awesome piece. I've had great, and I rely more on machines and away from the squatting, that I forgot how valuable the squat can be. I just had to find the right way for me to not risk my lower back. My knees have always been pretty good that way, it's good.
And that's where you emphasize proper form, right? That's how you don't risk
anything. Form on anything. You can lift good weights, but you have to have the form and take the momentum out, or you're going to get hurt. Absolutely guaranteed.
Yes, and if squats are done incorrectly, yes, you could definitely get hurt. But if they're done, I mean, that's what Tom Platz kind of used to rehab his back, but we'll get to that later on, or it's going to be in your book anyway.
Yeah, that part is in. Tomas is a part of the book process as well, so he sees everything because he's a proofer, and so he's seen a bit of – we have some first-time story of Tom Platz, his history. It's really good. It's an entire chapter where Eagles Dare.
Where Eagles Dare, yes.
And we finally get some history on Tom Platz.
And going back to squats and injuries, yes, if it's done incorrectly, but if you do it correctly, it can also be used as a rehab exercise.
Yeah, it is a great body invigorator.
And it's not only for legs. That's uses your whole body. So
exactly.
Okay, and the other thing that I forgot to add into the summary is your sixes article, which is going to be available to subscribers of the podcast alerts. So you can sign up at theworldofmuscle.com right on the front page, and you'll get access to all the transcriptions and the articles, well, that being one, and there'll be others later. Yeah. I think we've covered the second part of your weight gain.
Yeah.
So I will speak with you later. And if, listener, you have any comments or even questions, please add them to the bottom of this post.
Okay.
Nice talking with you, Randy.
All right, we'll talk to you later tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the World of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. We hope you've enjoyed the content of this episode, and we're looking forward to sharing more next time.